Amen. Come on, Navigation Church. We're kicking off 40 days of prayer, our spiritual campaign. Good to see you this morning. Hey, if you're watching us online, we're thrilled that you're tuning in. We know that there are those out there watching us. Last Sunday, we were only able to have one service because of the snow, but more people actually got saved online than sitting in here last week. How great is that? So we appreciate you tuning in every Sunday morning. If you haven't been able to stop by yet, you might not have purchased one of these. It's our 40-day prayer journal. And so you can go online, you can buy that yourself, or you can come here. If you are a first-time guest today and you're like, I don't have a book, I'm an outsider. No, you're not an outsider. Back at our Connecting Center, we actually have a piece of paper with the notes back there, so feel free, just slip back there in a second. You can grab that if they didn't already put one in your hand. But then for the rest of you who did invest $10 and you're here today and you go, oh, I forgot my book. How am I going to get the answers? They're all in the back. So you're not allowed to work ahead, but they are all in the back. So you have one of two options. Go home, open the back, fill it in, or just re-listen today's sermon because you're going to leave here going, that was the greatest thing I ever heard. I should re-listen to that. Do that and fill in your book at the same time. So we're on the subject of prayer, the conversation of prayer for the next 40 days. And by the way, it goes all the way to Easter, which is just a highlight, which is one of our top, if I can say this, just most well-attended high holidays that we have here at the church. And so this is a great way to ramp up to it, that we have to talk about prayer. And it seems difficult, or it seems weird to talk about it, because if you think about it, it's easy enough for a child to do. So I have kids at home. I have a 10, 8, 6, and a 3-year-old. My 3-year-old baby girl, Mariah, and at that point is when you go, aw, thank you, thank you. That's called manipulation, and you're welcome, welcome. My baby girl, Mariah, I was going to try to video her this week. One, her prayers are incredibly long, because she talks all the time for a girl. Or unless you're a female, it's the right amount of time, but it's a lot. But what happens is when we pray, I always pray from the top of their head to the tips of their toes. And then another prayer we always say is that our minds are renewed, our bodies are strengthened, and our hearts love the unloved. But what Mariah then does at 3 years old, she will go to every one of the boys around the bed. Judah sits in the beanbag and the other two boys. She will touch the top of their head. She will touch their toes. She will tap them, squeeze them. Most of the time, I think she's hitting them, but we call it prayer, like, and kind of punch on them. And it starts with giddy. And then the rest you don't understand. But because of where she's pointing, you kind of figure it out. And I'm just sitting there going, a 3-year-old is able to pray. How is it that we don't? And it dawned on me, it hit me. We get old enough where we know better. We get old enough where it's weird. Because let's be honest, if I said to you, you need to go into a private place, talk out loud to someone who's not there, and will never audibly talk back to you, that's called crazy. We've seen those people walking down the street. They're just talking to nothing, and you're like, they're clearly off their meds, right? Like, we've seen that happen. Unless that's you, we welcome you here at Navigation Church. You and your crazy self and all the friends you brought with you. So, like, nope, new things come out in the second service. So, I was told earlier, some people like the first service because it's like the more unfiltered kind. That was fresh, hot off the press for you. So, I'm just going to try not to say the word pimp later, but we'll get to that in a minute. But see, that's the thing with prayer. We get to the point where we start asking this, like, how long are we supposed to pray? Right? Because growing up, how many grew up where 60 minutes? That is what a prayer service is. Can't find it in the Bible, but that's what 60 minutes was a prayer service. Unless you really needed to find God, you went to 90. And at 90 minutes, even God's saying, get to the point. Like, literally, there's a globe I need to take care of, and you're still on this one issue. Like, so how long do you pray? What words do you say? I have a question for this. Have you ever wondered, does God even hear you? Does God even hear what you're saying? Or how do you know that God will even answer your prayers? Well, here's the exciting thing. Over the next 40 days, we're going to cover all these topics. We're going to give you practical ways to connect with your God in the most amazing ways. And so if you have your book, again, we're on page 14 here, or that piece of paper. I know that we have that on there for you. Prayer is God's idea. If he didn't want to hear from you, he wouldn't have invited you to pray. I love that opening line. And here's why. I've never been able to meet any Fortune 500 CEO They've never invited me to talk to them. I think I'm really smart. They would want to hear from me. I've never talked to a president of the United States, any of them. And I'd pick Carter. I mean, he's at the end of the line right now. Let's be honest. Like, I'd pick any of them right now. None of them have invited me to pray. But the God of the universe who created the entire world, that breathed life into your lungs, that formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb, said this: I would like to have a chat with you on a regular basis. So how are we going to do that? He invites us to pray. God wants to hear from you. Why? Because he loves you. He cares about every detail of your life. There is nothing, and you got to hear this. This is so powerful. There is nothing too big or too small for his attention. Because if you're a parent, there's sometimes you go, God, this is not a big deal, but man, I just can't seem to kid it. Well, hang on a second. God cares about the kids. God cares about your future. God cares about every aspect of your life, so nothing too big, too small. We're going to look specifically in a book called John today. If you're not familiar with the Bible, what us Christians read, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible that are really like the diary of a couple guys that hung out with Jesus a lot. And in one of these diaries, John tells us that Jesus was about to, we all hear it, right? Just pay attention up here. So, like, except those online, you can't hear it. I'm the weird guy talking to no one right now, so I'm calling it prayer. Like, John, in his diary, in his book, in his letter, he actually says this. He goes, there was a time sitting around with Jesus before he went to the cross that he sat us down to tell us some stuff. Now, me know the smartest person in the room, but if I'm sitting with Jesus right before he leaves and he goes, hey, there's a few things you need to know, I'm going to perk up. I'm going to try to dial into what he's saying so I can hear what's going on. And in the book of John, 7 different times, Jesus says to him, John 14, 15, 16, he says, pray. So what we're going to look at is the 4 primary purposes of prayer specifically found right before Jesus was going to head to the cross. I'm thinking these are keys that we need to have in our life. Amen? Amen. I just said that because you lost an hour of sleep and I wanted to make sure you were still with me. Free coffee at the coffee bar. Just go. And no, I just heard whoa. No, there's not. There is a mug if you want to steal it. Or we'll give it to you so you don't have to pay for repentance. Week 4, we'll cover it later. Okay, so number 1, prayer is an act of dedication. Okay, so that's your first fill in the blank there. Again, if you don't have your book here with you, the answers are in the back, or you can come back and listen to the podcast. Prayer is an act of dedication. It shows that we are devoted to God. Today, I'm going to do 2 things that might offend you. I don't mean to offend you, not trying to offend you, but they could offend you. And here we go with 1. Are you ready to be offended? Amen. Okay, thanks. So I thought it would go over like that. Ready for this? The reason you do not pray is because you think you're self-sufficient, and that's the root of pride. I don't need God because I'm too proudful to say that I need help from something outside of me. You have an issue with pride. Not trying to offend you, but if you think about it, if you're dependent upon someone else, you ask for advice, you seek counsel, you come alongside to say, hey, can you shape me, can you ship me? You know, there's times if I wanted to be a better businessman, I can do 1 of 2 things. I can either just try to be, or I can lay down my pride, find someone who's a successful businessman or woman and say this to them, can you disciple me? Can you be my life coach? Can you instruct me on how to do this? It's so funny how around this room right now, and I'll close my eyes so you don't think I'm talking about you. There are some marriages, I didn't close my eyes for that long, so there are some marriages that are just falling apart. Around this room, there has to be. A crowd this size, I guarantee there's some marriages not doing well right now. And you are too prideful to go to someone else and go, our marriage isn't doing well. Why? Because in your mind, it's only your marriage falling apart. It's not. At some point, I've been married for 14 years, but by the grace of a wonderful wife, our marriage should have fallen apart. And the times that it does, we lay down our pride to go to someone else and say, help me. But somehow in our life, we never lay down our pride to say to God, help me everywhere. Let me ask you this, how's it going for you? If you just step back and take a true evaluation of your life, how is it going when you don't seek God for advice? And so we are prideful. So let me say this. When we come in When we come in to the end of ourself, we come to the beginning of him. And here's what happens in John chapter 15. It's on page 14 of your book. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So if we stay connected with God and say that we're not independent from him, we will bear much fruit. From him, you can do nothing. You will be lifeless. Your pride will keep you from growing and thriving. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. But if you remain dependent upon me, if you remain devoted to me, if you remain connected to me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. We have to remain dependent upon God. And I will say this, the longer I'm a pastor, the more I find that I need to be dependent upon him. And I'm going to go ahead and just be honest with you. There's times, if you ever find yourself in a counseling meeting with me, first of all, I'd say this to you, a lot more qualified people, right? But you, somehow you're sitting with me, and as I'm sitting there, I have a piece of paper, and you start talking, and you're going to watch me writing. And as I'm writing, here's the prayer that's going in my head. Oh God, why did they pick me? And I'm not too prideful to say it. I promise you. I just, because I know me, I don't know you, I don't think I'm qualified to do this, and I'm just writing. And you are currently vomiting out all your issues in a way that I'm having trouble keeping up writing, and then it switches somewhere along the line. The craziest things happen. You're then going to seek advice from me of everything that you just put on me. And I'm still writing, acting like I'm smart, and then that's when my prayer changes to, oh God, what am I supposed to say? It just is, because you came to me because you think I've been in this situation before. I have news for you. I've never been in your situation. I don't have the answer for you. The craziest things happen. Every time I say to God in a counseling meeting, in an advice meeting, in a coaching meeting, every time I say to God, I'm not qualified to do this, God gives me something to say to the other person. And out of nowhere, the room changes. The atmosphere changes. The world didn't change. The problem didn't change. Something changed in the mind of someone, and they go, oh, I've never seen it like that before. I have hope again. And I'm sitting in my brain changing my prayer. Oh, God, you did it again. Like, because it didn't flow from me. It didn't come from me. But if I think I am self-dependent, if I think I can do this on my own, I promise you I'm going to have a very short career as being a spiritual leader over anybody. So if that's true coming from me, shouldn't it be true from you? In your business life, in your family life, in your relationship life? We have to be fully dedicated to God. Okay, so point number two, ready for this? Still page 14. Prayer is an act of communication. You're here right now, you're watching us online, you've been like, hey, I'm not big, the music was fun, very energetic band, that's great, but I'm not really into the Jesus thing, the Bible thing, okay, great, but possibly you'll agree with this. Every major issue you've had in life, relationally speaking, came down to poor communication, right? Hey, men, I need some help with you. Every time you've had a fallout in your relationship with her, it was because of poor communication. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's just all be a little honest here. Women, every time he had a poor... I don't have the guts. I don't. I didn't. Nope. Nope. I'm sweating a little bit. Parents to kids. Every time there's been a breakdown of relationship, it was poor communications, expectation, what they wanted. If you've ever worked for someone and they wanted one thing and you delivered something else and now you're being reprimanded, but you did what you thought they wanted, somewhere down the line, somewhere across the line, they failed to front load expectations and now you were doing something they never wanted and all of a sudden there's a fight occurring, there's a form being filled out and you're just sitting there going, listen, somebody didn't communicate well enough. All major breakdown in relationship happens with poor communication. The same thing is true with God. You can't know what he's thinking nor what he wants if you're not talking to him. And I know that sounds crazy. I'm going to put God in the same category as talking to your spouse, talking to your kids, talking to your friends, talking to your boss, whatever it might be. Why? Because clear communications helps ease all relationships. So when it comes to God, we need to know that we are supposed to communicate with him. And when it comes to communicating with him, we have to know what the friendship looks like. Why? Because I communicate different to a boss than I do my spouse, right? Or you should. If not, that one relationship's going down the road. Because I promise you this, of everybody sitting in here today, there's only one person I'm going to call honey, I'm going to call sweetie, I'm going to call hot stuff. She's not in here. I can do this time. So. Sweet cheek. It doesn't matter. I am. There's one. And I guarantee at the end of service, I'll be at the back door, I'll shake hands. I'm not going to look at one of you and go, bye, sweetie. Like, not going to happen. Won't happen to a single person. There's one person, because I know my relationship with my wife, that I will give a kiss to. And across this room, there's no one in here I want to kiss. No, I'll say that different. Because of my relationship with you, I'm not going to kiss you like I kiss her at all. And if any of you try it, you don't understand our relationship. You're not on that level. There's one person on that level. And I thought there was a lot, but there's only one that's ever said yes. Like, I was deep sea fishing in a pond. I'm like, anybody? But I finally got someone to say yes. And now that I know that relationship with her, I can clearly communicate with her. But if I were to meet the President of the United States, I'm not going to go up and go, hey, sweet hair. I'm not going to walk up and say, I shouldn't have, but I did. And the reason I can't, we won't be posting this one, if anyone cares. You will see earlier service. The reason I can't, I don't have that friendship with him. I don't have that relationship with him. You have to know what your relationship level is converse. So when it comes to being in full communication with God, here's what he says. I no longer, John 15, I no longer call you servants. You know, other translations actually say the word slave here. I no longer call you a slave. I no longer call you a servant, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is all about. Does his master's will and his desires. Why? Because if you were my slave, I tell you what to do. If you don't do that, I just beat you. I mean, that's the definition that the Bible would have been looking at this time. But what he's saying is, I need you to know what I'm all about, so we need to have a conversation of collaboration going on between us. So here's what I'm going to do. Instead, I'm going to call you friend. If nothing else hits you in the heart today, grabs your attention, pause on this word right here. That the God that is solving world hunger, that's caring about a wife that is being abused at a home, of another young daughter being sold into sex slavery, all these major issues around the world, he has time every moment of every day to look at you and say, I want to be your friend. I want to be a pal. I want to be a buddy. I want to have, you know what I want you to have? I want you to have my cell phone number. Just so you know right there where your relationship goes with someone. If you meet someone and they go, hey, here's my card and my email address, that's different than, hey, pull your phone out. Let me give you my cell number. And God's going, listen, I need you to know everything about me, for everything that I have learned is from my Father, and I've made it known to you. So this is what Jesus is saying to them. You did not choose me, but I chose you for an appointed time, you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name's sake. So ready for this? You don't have to go through God's assistant to talk to him. You don't have to go to me to have a conversation with him. God says this, you always have a spot at the front of the line. Well, what if two of us show up at the same time? You both have a spot at the front of the line. Our God can do this. Our God can always talk. So we are dedicated to him, which means we're in constant communication with him. And then, ready for this? This is point number three, top of page 15. Prayer is an act of supplication. By the way, I wanted to have like a siren to go off right now. Why? Like churchy term. So if you're new and you don't even know God and you're like, I have no idea what supplication is, or maybe you're really strange, you talk to people that aren't there walking down the road, and you also say things like this, hey, I have a supplication that I would like to request of you. Like, it's a word we don't use, but I need to use it because of the scripture. So here's a different way to say it. Prayer is an act of making a request. That's an easier way to say it, but we need to use the word supplication, because in Philippians 4, it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and, see that word, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. So supplication is simply us having our requests be known to God. Why can we let God know our requests? Because step number one, we're fully dedicated and devoted to him. We're in constant communication with him. And if you're unlike me, there's a chance somewhere down the road you may have a problem you need help with. Has anyone ever been in that place before? There's a question you have. There's a desire that you want. And he's saying, let your request be known. And here's the thing. Here's the result of it. This is fantastic. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. When we're in proper relationship with God and we ask or make a request from him, it's like we take this thing that we have and we give it to him as a desire. And God says this, you're going to have a peace of heart. Is there anybody out there that you need some peace in your life right now? And if you're not getting it, there's a chance you're not praying. And if you're not praying, there's a chance you have a pride issue. Now, that shouldn't be offensive. I said it earlier. I'm just reminding of it right now. But if you can honestly get to the point where you go, God, I need help with this situation. It goes on, and this is great. It says, I tell you the truth, my Father, this is John 16, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ready for this? Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. So why don't you have? You haven't asked. Why haven't you received? You haven't let God know about it. But here's the great thing. The results of this will be ask in my name and receive. Your joy will be complete. So if you're losing joy in your life, there's a chance you're not in communication with Jesus asking what it is. Prayer is the primary method God has for you to tell him your desires. And by the way, I said there were two things that may offend you today. Let's go with number two right now. Who's ready for it? Okay, here it goes. If you say something like this, well, God knows the future, he's in control, or I only want to have what God gives me, you are both religious and or lazy. Amen. I front-loaded it. I'm like, hey, give us this back. But here's the thing. Like, if you live your life going, listen, God is in control. Whatever he has for me, I'm on this road and I'm good with it. Man, you are just lazy. If Jesus took time to pray to say, God, your will be done. If Jesus wrestled with his Father in a garden to the point of bleeding, and he eventually said, not your will, but mine be done. What Jesus was actually saying there, he was going, God, Dad, any other way we can get around me hanging on this cross, let's do it. And so that's not lazy. It's getting in there with God, wrestling through with it. It was a time with Moses. God came to Moses. And this is an Old Testament thing. It's just a random passage that popped in, so you're getting it. God decided to wipe out all the children of Israel because he was so annoyed by them. I know how that feels, Lord. I'm sorry. Thank you for your grace. But Moses actually went to God and goes, God, that won't look good for you. You shouldn't kill them all. Moses went and interceded, and God goes, okay, fine, I'll change my mind. And if you're like, God changes his mind, we can talk about that later, but you just go read it in the book of Exodus. So, and then you go, well, whatever God gives me, whatever he has for me, you're just religious at that point. Because you know, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden, they had all the options in the world except for one tree not to eat of. And he didn't say, I need you to now go do this and then this and this. What he said to them was, go. And it was up to us to explore. It was up to us to find. It was up to us to discover. But here's the thing. You do not have, James 4, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. 20 times in the New Testament, we are actually commanded by God to pray and ask. I think if he repeated, I know when I repeat three things at the house with the kids, I'm to the point of, you don't have this yet? Like, don't duct tape your sister. I don't want to tell that story, but... Psalms 145 and 37 should encourage us. He fulfills the desires of those who reverence and trust him. Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is about a desire that we have. So here's the thing. I'm just going to be honest. If you know me for any length of time, this is absolutely true. I have a desire to own a Ferrari. Thank you. I have a desire to own a Ferrari. And I've actually had friends say, well, you know there's faster cars out there. Not one with a horse on the front. right? Not one that throws me back to Hawaii, Magnum PI, dun, 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 like running through them gears. That's what that throws me back to. Not one that when you turn it on, that growl, that like I, man, I have that desire in my heart to have a Ferrari, but I'll be honest with you, I've never prayed for it. I haven't. Why? Because I've been dedicated to God long enough and fully devoted to Him and in constant communication with Him. I don't think at this point in my life that God has a desire for me to have the desire to own a Ferrari. I'm pretty sure that's just David. Because I don't know how it plays well that I go ahead and buy the Ferrari, roll up here on a Sunday morning all pimped out, and jumping out of the car just to stand on stage and say, hey, look what your tithe bought me. Like, I don't... I haven't prayed for that because I know that's something that David wants. That's something that I've always looked at. That comes out of childhood. You know what I pray for most about now? I pray for my kids. I pray for their future. I pray for my wife and my spouse. I pray for my kids. If you don't pray this over your kids, I'm going to encourage you to do it. I pray for my boys to become the men of God they're supposed to. And while they're doing that, the woman that's supposed to marry them, that she will be waiting for them. And by the time this virgin meets up with that virgin, oh my gosh, he's really, yeah, I'm saying that. I'm fine if my boy doesn't test drive every Ferrari, or I would say every Ford before getting to his Ferrari, but I own a Ford, by the way, and I call it a sports car. It's from 1997, if anybody cares, with less than 60,000 miles, and I'm still proud of it. So, okay. But I actually pray that my boys become the men they're supposed to, and that wife that's waiting out there for them is also have parents praying the same thing. And then while my boys are being raised up in the house, they become proper illustrations to baby Mariah, that when some other boy rolls up in his Chevy, okay, rolls up and tries to get her to come, and all he wants is a physical with her, she can look at him and go, wait a second, even my brothers opened the door for me. Even my brothers don't talk like that in front of me. Like, those are the type of things I pray for now. You know what's weird? I know this is going to sound crazy. Do you know that as a church, you get prayed for on a weekly basis? Some of you actually get called out by name as we go through. If you ever fill out one of those prayer requests on the app or on the website, do you know there's a group that specifically prays for you all the time? Do you know we pray for this church because we believe that God is wanting to have an outpouring like never seen before, and He has put His thumbprint on Navigation Church to be a part of what God is doing in the nation right now? Oh God, and could I have that Ferrari? It doesn't seem so special anymore. Because when you hear the people that are going to get baptized later today, and you hear those stories of redemption and marriages that were reconciled and kids that stopped cutting and teenagers that stopped drugging and dads that end up being fathers they were supposed to, man, I just found the value of what to really pray for. Why? Because I know what the desires of my Father's heart is because I'm dedicated to Him. And while dedicated to Him, I communicate to Him all the time, and I communicate knowing His desires, which becomes my desires, but it has to be, because on page 16 we find out that we are here to cooperate with God. I always say that word like that, cooperate, because we're in cooperation with God. Prayer is God's way of letting us know that we are partnering with Him to accomplish His purpose on earth, to society, and people. Everything that happens for God on earth today happens through us. And we need to know that we are cooperating with Him. And then here's this is not an offensive scripture. This one should blow your mind. Ready for this? It says, John 14, it says, I tell you the truth. I, being Jesus, tell His disciples the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. First of all, you're telling me I can do what Jesus did. Mind blowing. Then he goes ahead and doubles down. Ready for this? I just used a gambling metaphor to tell us what our Savior did for us. Okay, so he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus just looked at every one of His disciples and said the phrase, you are going to do greater things than I have done. And that, you just go, wait a second, that can't happen. That's beyond me. Or if you're sitting there right now and going, no, I could see that happening through me. You have a Messiah complex. Go see point one. You have a pride issue, but that if that's offending you, like you really do. Okay, but then here's how this is going to happen. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So now we're supposed to ask Jesus and he will do it through us because we're asking the Father through the Son. It ultimately means this. Jesus was one person in one place doing one thing at a time. We are now many people in many places doing multiple things at any given time. We are going to do greater things than Jesus by sheer numbers. He is wanting us to cooperate with him in the earth because prayers are not limited by time and space. Your prayer releases the power of God. By the way, this is where I like wrote like pause for amen. So I'll just go ahead and give you that right now. So your prayers release the power of God into the most hopeless, helpless situations. Say, I put an exclamation point, so it's supposed to be louder. We'll give it another run. Anything that you think is too big, too great, too hard, too far, your prayers will go into those most hopeless situations and turn them around. They can penetrate places that no man or woman can go, whether that's closed international borders or the hardest of hearts of the biggest skeptic. Prayer makes the impossible possible. People can reject your belief systems. They can reject your ideology and even your logic. They can reject your personal testimony. Here's what they cannot reject. They cannot reject your prayers they never saw coming. Prayers change, and we say these prayers because we're cooperating with God. Why are we cooperating with God? Because all of a sudden, our desires are becoming his desires. Why are those desires matching up? Because we spend a lot of time talking to him. Why are we talking to him? Because we are devoted to him. The principles of prayers that we have to start with, John, in his book, 7 different times in these 3 chapters, tell us, ask, and Jesus will do, request, and Jesus will answer. Why aren't we praying? Most important thing we can do as a Christian is to talk to God. So there is no subject that I could bring to you today that will have a greater, more powerful impact in changing your life than the subject of prayer. The funny thing is, as a pastor, I was slow. By the way, this was planned, a year ago, that this was what I felt like we needed to talk about. And I was so slow to go, hey, we're pulling the trigger on this. Let's make prayer the thing. You know why? And I'm just going to be honest with you. Prayer is not sexy. Like if we were to put out there, we're going to talk on prayer. I guarantee you get more excitement if we go, hey, we're going to give you the 4 keys to a radically transformed life. One sells better than the other. The difference is prayer is the key that radically transforms any part of your life. And if it's what Jesus did, Jesus never said, I don't have time to sneak away and pray. Jesus never said it doesn't fit into my schedule. Jesus never said to the multitudes, hey, you're keeping me. No, he had time for them and he had time for that. So it is incumbent upon me to actually bring this subject to you. Why? Because we are marching towards Easter. And we're going to be praying for our community. We're going to be praying for our outreaches. We're going to be praying for loved ones that you would love to hand a touch card to say, hey, invite and come to our church Easter morning. Why? Because it's the key that changes everybody's life. So here's what's going to happen now, and our prayer coach will remind us this in a minute, but you're going to be on page 17. When you go to your nav groups this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to start on that page to answer questions. And then the nav group leader is going to then lead you through the next 3 pages on bigger steps, more challenging, and don't freak out. One of them, it's great. Encourage new people to pray, even if it's a single sentence. The book says it. We have to do it. I love it. You can blame the book, but if you are not a part of a nav group, I need to encourage you for the next 6 weeks. No, you don't have to go beyond that. You need to get connected to one in the next 6 weeks. Because somewhere around Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to forget about the weekly challenge. You're going to slack on doing your book. You're not going to be encouraged and inspired to what prayer can do in your life. And then you're going to walk into the nav group with the most dynamic, powerful, energetic nav group leader you've ever met. They can answer any question you ever have about the Bible, because they have my cell phone. or Google, let's be honest. One of the 2 will fix that. And they will be there to coach you then halfway through the week till you get back here next Sunday and we go to round 2 of our 40 days of prayer. So I want to encourage you. And again, the prayer coach remind this, today is day number one of your journal. So if you have your book, go to day number one. Today starts that reading, three simple questions, and I want to encourage you to begin your prayer life in a way you've never done it before. You know, I said prayer is the most important subject I could possibly talk to you on, and I agree with that. But there's one maybe that I should have before that, and that is you have a prayer life because you have a relationship with someone. And the relationship that we're specifically talking about here today is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a relationship to me or through me. It's a relationship with the God of heaven, the Holy Spirit that's present with us, the Father who loves you from the inside out. So if you've never heard anything about Jesus, here's your thumbnail sketch. 2,000 years ago, God stepped out of heaven onto earth because humanity was separated from him, and God hated it. There's a lot of religions that actually say, come to me, find me, walk up this mountain. And God said, no, I'm coming down to them. So God stepped out of heaven onto earth, walked on this earth for 33 plus years. And in those 33 years, he walked with us, he talked with us, he taught us, he gave us a new way to think. But at the end of that time, he gave himself to be hung on a cross, nails in his hands and his feet, thorns on his head, his back beaten, his face punched. He gave himself to be brutally murdered, but his death paid for our life. And no matter what you do, no matter how good person you are through this life, there comes a time when you're going to stand before God and you need Jesus to say, paid in full, because we cannot pay it in full. And it's the love of our Savior that, keep in mind, wants to always talk to us. So here's how we do it at Navigation Church. If you've been inspired today, if you feel God moving on you today and you want to say yes to being in a relationship with you, with him, I'm going to actually ask you just to raise your hand in the air, but to make you as comfortable as I can, could I just ask everybody, could we just close our eyes for the next 2 minutes or so, 2-3 minutes, and give those around us an opportunity to possibly respond. Those watching online, the same question is going to go out to you. And that question is simply this. If you are here today and you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're here today ready to turn over a new leaf, and I asked a question earlier, how's it going for you? And you would be honest and go, things haven't been going well. Your first step is a prayer of salvation. So with every eye closed and head bowed, if you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, simply just slide that hand up just so that I can see that you've made that decision. And again, no other hands. I see that hand. Praise God. I see those hands. There are hands going up all over this room. If you're watching online, I know this may feel weird. Slide your hand up. It'll be a small demonstration of what God's doing in your life right now, but it'll be a lasting memory that you have forever. And I'm also going to invite you to say the same prayer that all of us are going to say here today. Could I ask everyone to repeat this after me? Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. I start a journey where I'm dedicated to you. And then I'll communicate with you. I'll make my request known to you so that I can cooperate with you. Forgive me of my sins and become Lord of my life. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for every hand that went up, every decision that was made. And Lord, we seal them to your kingdom on this day. Look forward to shaking their hands and finding out more of their stories. But in this moment, God, I ask for you to love on them. Arrest them. Seal this moment in their life. And for the rest of us, as we begin this journey, God, may you grace us to walk the steps that we need to in order to find you in a way that we never have met you before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.